I'm really excited to be here to join you on this very special service. I'm so happy to connect with you all again. How are you doing this afternoon? Are you doing good? If you're doing good, help me. Okay, show me a good sign. Good? Good? Okay. Then turn to your neighbor. You know, this is also, Facebook says this is also a what? Like, okay? Turn to your neighbor and say, I like you. Okay, now can you all like me? Okay, now that you all like me, then I'm ready to start, okay? Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this wonderful afternoon as we come and celebrate, first of all, you, Lord, and your goodness in each and every one of our lives. We thank you for your mercies each new day, but even today as we come before you, to give you praise, to give you glory. Lord, we just are so, so keenly aware of your grace in our lives. Father, we thank you for your love. I thank you for my brothers and sisters here in this very special family. I ask that you will bless each and every one of us. And in this short time that we have together, I pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will come and take full control of this time, Lord. And I pray that, Lord, you will meet us at our unique point of need. I pray, Father, that as we come before you, you will teach us, you will guide us, you will convict us. So Holy Spirit, we give you full control of this meeting. We give you full control as you take every thought captive in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I pray that the words from my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable before you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, a few days ago, I just came back from Japan, and I heard this interesting story. A man went into one of the Japanese motor car showroom, okay, Toyota. And he went up to the salesman and he says, and he took out $2,000 and he gave it to the salesman and says, I want to buy a Toyota Camry. And the salesman looked at him a bit shocked and said, brother, your money, not enough. And this guy was very upset. He raised his voice and says, look, your advertisement outside says Camry 2000. Then the salesman was very calm and collected. And he replied, brother, I tell you, you go out of the door, turn right to the showroom next door. It's much cheaper. BMW 525. Well, that's a lesson in life that we all know too well, right? To look beyond the label and to see the true me. That's a plug for NCSS, okay? Right? You know, we live in a world where we used to always put labels on things and nearly about everything, on people, on things, on program, on communities, and even on ourselves. And labels, honestly, they are not wrong in themselves. But if these surface descriptors starts to take a life of its own, an identity of its own, it will often trip us up. And if we're not very careful and we don't take time enough to look beyond the labels, it can really mess us up. And obviously not very good for life. The word of God today for us is found in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17. It says, honor all people. Love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Let me read it again. Honor all people, including those who are differently abled, the disabled, and even sometimes the socially excluded. Love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. You know, today as we gather here on this very special occasion, we are celebrating inclusion. But I'm reminded by this very special text that indeed, God wants us to go beyond the labels and honor all people. I see in this word that the Lord leading us into going beyond just the functionality or the politically correct attitudes of inclusiveness, but to truly look at the Word of God and to bring our hearts and focus to celebrate something that is deeper, and that is honoring all. Honoring all. Why is this important? Well, we find the answer in 1 Peter itself. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 12 says this, "Be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Then even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior and they will give honor to God when He judges the world." You go down to verse 15 and it says this, "It is God's will that your honorable lives should silence those ignorant people who make foolish accusations against you." I'm sure many of you would know that this is very familiar because Jesus Himself said this in Matthew 5 verse 16. "In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father." Isn't that true? This is a call of God for all of us today to honor all people, to love the brotherhood, to fear God, and to honor King. In fact, in the New Living Translation, it says this, "Respect everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God and respect the King." Here you see the Bible translators, in one sense, interchangeably uses the word honor and respect all in the same time, which I believe is a very important word to understand. But the key word, I believe, that comes out of this scripture for us is to look at the word all. It says, honor all people. In the Living Translation, it says, respect everyone. I believe the Lord inspired these words because, as you know in Scripture, every word of God is truly an intentional word from God for us. And the intentionality I here see is that, in fact, is a reminder to us that sometimes we all do have this tendency to honor some people with some conditions and with some string attached. We look at faces, we look at status, we look at power, we look at prestige, we look at popularity. We tend towards what they call what? The shakers and the movers. We tend towards the rich and the famous. We tend towards the well-endowed and the talented. You see, even in honoring, we have rankings and bandings. Don't you agree? Let's come back again to what honor really means. What is the meaning of honor? Well, the Oxford Dictionary says this, high respect and great esteem. Well, you want to compare with the Cambridge Dictionary, it says this, to show great respect for someone or something, especially in public. I thought that's very interesting. That added phrase and that added description is important. That when we honor, there's something that happens even, and more important, when it happens, in one sense, publicly. Why I'm very interested in this definition is because, you know, sometimes I believe we do what we call obligatory honor or obligatory respect. I remember many years ago, I was in my car and I was listening to this story being told about a little girl called Mei Ling. She was probably living in one of our HDB block of flats. She lived with her parents and her grandfather. And her grandfather was very old, and so every time they have a meal together, right? The grandfather being old, and of course many of us know when they are of that age, sometimes they don't eat too well. So he would have his food fall off his mouth or his plates and his utensils, and they would make a mess. And it became very troublesome for the family. So the father one day said, I got a brilliant idea. Guess what? I'm going to set a table beside our main dining table, and we're going to put Kong Kong down there. So that as he eats there, you know, if his food falls on it, you can all handle it and all. And so next day, they set up this table and they put Kong Kong there, and everybody was happy. The family was happy. They wouldn't get involved. The Kong Kong was happy in one sense. He was just sitting there eating his food. One day, the father of Mei Ling came back home on the afternoon and saw Mei Ling playing with her masa masa, okay? If your generation, you know what that means, right? Okay? Right? Her dollhouse. And the daddy asked her, "What are you doing there, Mei Ling?" Mei Ling says, "Oh, I'm setting up a table for dinner." And then the brother asks, "What is that other small table you put down there?" Then Mei Ling says, "Oh, I'm putting it for you. Next time when you grow old, you will sit down there too." That night, Kong Kong came back to the main table for dinner. You know, that story reminded me so much about what it means to honor, respect, and the whole idea of inclusion. That's why whenever we talk about honor, it is huge. The meaning of honor is truly about including. It is not just respecting and say, oh, I respect you, I put you aside. It's not just I honor you, I honor you there. It is to be able to bring people in together. And that's why inclusiveness is a big thing in honoring. And therefore today I just want you to join me to congratulate the Family Inclusion Network for tremendous work that they are doing of including and honoring all people. And for all the years of their hard work, I believe God is going to continue to do even more for them. But you know, if you look at this word honor again, you will notice that it actually makes up of two words. They say, you respect and you esteem. For me, respect means inclusiveness. And esteem means to value. I want to suggest to you that in these recent years, especially in the last couple of years, 5 years, 6 years, and even maybe as long as the fin has been formed over the last 8 years, I want to say that I believe Singapore has progressed a lot in the area of inclusiveness. And you must probably agree with me. That we do hear a lot more about that. We do hear a lot more about the fact that our friends with special needs, our families with special needs, they are part of us. And I think that is not, in one sense, even now, a big major argument. But today I want to submit to you that as I think about this word honor, I feel the Lord directing me more to not just talk about the inclusive part of honor, but a very important part of valuing. Valuing all people. So when we say honor all people, I believe the Lord wants us today to value all people. And I believe that we are in a new season now where, in one sense, the inclusive part is probably there. But my worry now is that as we work on inclusiveness, we miss this whole aspect of what it means to value. Because you see, I believe God wants us to shift from just having people being part of us, but to being a place where we value them. That means even as we see our friends with special needs, not as just people with special needs, but I believe with special assets, with special unique worth. This happened to me about, I think, 2 months ago, when I was at a MSF conference in the morning. And there was a discussion going on about the needs of vulnerable families, the poor, the needy, the disadvantaged, and delinquent youth, and all those discussions that you would have at an MSF conference, okay? There was a panel discussion going on, and I was on a member of the audience there, and I felt prompted to raise my hand and make a comment to the people there, because there was a discussion going on about how the future of social needs in Singapore, the future concerns, and what must we do about working downstream, upstream, and more services that are needed, more requirements and all. So I put up my hand, I said, sir, can I just make a comment? I think all this talk about working and helping and providing more services is good. But can I suggest something? That maybe it's high time for us to rewrite the brief of social services. You see, my background is that I'm an architect by profession and training. And as an architect, as a designer, one of the most important aspects of how we start designs is the person writing the brief. And if you write the brief wrongly, your design, no matter how good, will come out like that, right? Okay? So my point to the minister and the panel down there was this. The brief that we have been writing for social services and all these concerns about social needs and even people with special needs have all been skewed towards the fact that they need help. They need help, they need help, and they need more help. And we need more services and we need more programs and we need more organizations to help them. I turned to the minister and I said this. I said, sir, what if we rewrite the brief and say that all these people with great needs, vulnerable families, special needs people, are people of great value? And that they have worth. And that they are people with great resources that you don't even realize. What if we write a brief that way? Can we not change the social landscape and the future of social services by just taking that attitude? Can we begin from the fact that a needy person may not just be needy, but have resources? A service recipient may not just be one who can receive, but can give. A person with special needs are not just persons with needs, but special assets and talents. Can we rewrite that brief? And I just made those comments for about 3 minutes, and what shocked me was when I said, thank you, sir. The audience, everybody clapped. And I realized that I hit something there on that day. And I believe it is that new season. And I want to speak to those who are active in the Finn network too. That I believe we are reaching a new time and a new season of not just inclusiveness, but about the fact that we need to value them. So maybe this is what we should say to all our friends and families and persons related with special needs. We value you, and you add value to us. You are not just persons or families that need our support and assistance, but you are an important and integral part of our community. You are persons and families with resources and worth, without which we would be, as a society and a people, less able, disabled, and socially incomplete. Are we willing to say that? Can we say that in this new season? Well, as I was preparing this, I said maybe Finn may have to change to FVN, Family Valued Network. Okay, anyway, okay, you think about that. Okay. But that's my point. I hope you catch what I'm trying to say. I hope you catch what I'm trying to do today, and I believe God wants us to move, in one sense, even just beyond just inclusiveness, to understand that our dear friends, our dear communities with special needs are people with special assets. And they have special resource that is totally, in one sense, untapped, uncovered, even right now. So the question that I want to answer today is simply this. How can we do better to honor and value one another? How can we do better to honor and value one another? You see, there are many aspects of honor and value that we can talk about today. But as I prayed over what I wanted to share with you all this afternoon, I somehow was led to just one aspect of honoring and value that we must celebrate today. And the Lord seemed to point me to this. Let's celebrate and honor the Holy Spirit. Let's celebrate and honor the Holy Spirit. And just as I was preparing this, the song that popped into my head, and I don't know, maybe this generation remember this song and can sing it with me. He that is in me is greater than he that is in the world. He that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. Therefore I will sing and I will rejoice, for his Spirit lives in me. Christ the living one has overcome, and we share in his victory. Join me now. He that is in me is greater than he that is in the world. He that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. You know, that is really what we should celebrate today. As we consider how we honor and value each other, I believe it is the Holy Spirit that you and I have that we can celebrate, that can, in one sense, bring that inclusiveness, and that can bring that value to each and every one of us. 1 John 4:4 says this, "But you belong to God, my dear children. You are already won a victory over these people, because the Spirit who lives in you is greater than the Spirit who lives in the world." So brothers and sisters, this is the key idea of my message today. To honor all people, let's honor and value the Holy Spirit. To honor all people, let's value and honor the Holy Spirit. You know, this is really so crucial. This is really so critical that God wants to prepare us, that as we learn to this whole idea of honoring one another, what we really need to do is honor the Holy Spirit in us. Because many of you will probably know that when you think deeper about this, it is the Holy Spirit that really makes us inclusive. 1 Corinthians 12 to 13 says, the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up the whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some of us are Gentiles, some of us are slaves, some of us are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share in that one Spirit. It is indeed, right? In 1 Corinthians 4, 12, verse 4 and verse 7 says, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them. There are different kinds of services, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each one of us so that we can help each other. So how do we honor and value the Holy Spirit? How do we honor and value the Holy Spirit? I just want to share with you two quick thoughts of how you and I can honor and value the Holy Spirit in each and every one of us. Firstly, we need to acknowledge His presence, a blessing in the now. Slides, just skip on, okay? Got it. Okay? How do we honor and value the Holy Spirit? Number one, we need to acknowledge His presence, a blessing in the now. 2 Timothy 1, 6 to 7. Says this from Paul. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying out of my hands. For the Spirit of God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. The very first and most important first step in order for us to simply to be able to honor and value the Holy Spirit in us is simply to be able to acknowledge His presence. It is such a simple first step. In fact, Paul had to write to Timothy to remind him that this Holy Spirit in you needs to be fanned, needs to be stirred up, needs to be made aware, and that you need to know again that the Holy Spirit is there for you. It is a gift that you have. But I'm sure many of you realize too that although you and I know the Holy Spirit is in us, we can truly forget that it is there. Especially for many of us who have been long time in the ministry. Right? In your first, in initial years, you would know that, wow, you know, you pray real hard, you believe real hard, you trust God for everything that you do, and you ask the Holy Spirit to empower you, and then, after a while, God begins to do the work, and then things get better and all, and then you suddenly begin to think that it is you who have got things. And that's why I believe Paul made this effort to Timothy, his son. He says, remember, the Spirit is in you, fan it to flame, because you see, you need to acknowledge that He is there for you. But the key point I want to make today is this. Why is the Holy Spirit such a leveler and such an inclusiveness for each one of us? Have you ever wondered what the Holy Spirit is like in your brother or your sister or the person sitting next to you? And my answer is simply this. We all have the same Holy Spirit. And that's why whether you have special needs or whether you have special requirements in your life or whether you are in a certain condition, the Holy Spirit in you is the same as the Holy Spirit in me. So I used to preach this message, for example, to children, and I said, the children Holy Spirit is not half-size Holy Spirit. So similarly, with our friends with special needs, the Holy Spirit in them is not a Holy Spirit with special needs. That's the reason why it is so powerful to understand this. You can honor each other, we can honor each other, we can value each other, because we all have that same Holy Spirit. I just want to share with you a story out of the book that Finn has produced, right? Cheryl Ong, A Daughter of God. That's the title of her chapter. And this is what she wrote. And when she was asked, it seems like you are very sensitive to the voice of God. And this was her reply. Yes, I pray for many people. Once I was at healing rooms and a lady told me that she had eye problems. So I laid my hands on her and prayed that she will be healed in the name of Jesus. The following week, she told me that her eyes were healed. Praise God! The Holy Spirit in Cheryl Ong. It's the same Holy Spirit, even though she might have got special needs. I don't have time to tell you another story, but I will then move on. What is the second thing that will help us honor and value the Holy Spirit in us? First, we need to acknowledge His presence, because He's a blessing in the now. Secondly, we need to affirm His purpose, which is a benefit for all. How do we honor and value the Holy Spirit? First, we acknowledge His presence. Secondly, we affirm His purposes. Look at what Paul wrote to Timothy, and he said in chapter 1, verse 7 and 9, "For the Spirit of God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about the Lord or of me, His prisoner. Rather, join me with suffering for the gospel. By the power of God, He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of His own purpose and grace. This grace was given in us, Christ Jesus, before the beginning of time." 1 Corinthians 12:7 says this, "Now to each one of the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." Brothers and sisters, the point is this, okay? God gave us the Holy Spirit for the common good. It's for you and I to use. It's for you and I to minister, to love, and to empower one another. For you and I to be able to honor one another and to value one another is to know that the Holy Spirit is in you and I is the same. And that God has given us that Spirit for a unique purpose, and that is to glorify His name. I don't know about you, but for me, sometimes I hear what God wants me to do, and then I say, "God, are you sure?" I question it, and I ask myself, why? But if the Holy Spirit is God, then truly when we hear what He wants to do, when He asks us to do something, truly it must be for the benefit of the people around us. I want you to listen now to how the Holy Spirit gave boldness to our friends with special needs when they put it down in their book, Call Me By Name. I want to read to you a little paragraph from Serena Low. She's the executive director of the Muscular Dystrophy Association. And the book that she herself wrote, or the chapter that she wrote, is called A Purposeful Pot. And this is what she says. "We are all shaped for a purpose, God's purposes. So to people with disabilities and their caregivers, I would like to say this. No matter what reception we receive in church or in society, let us step up courageously. Let us step forward positively and be responsible not only for ourselves but to our community. Even more so, we should make ourselves available for others. Let us not ask what the church can do for us. Let us step up and make our presence felt. Jesus told us to love one another, and we must not segregate ourselves. Perhaps Jesus has appointed you, whether you have disabilities or not, to reach out another and show love to them." Powerful words. Words spoken by a person who physically has a condition that will probably be very different from you and I. But yet at the same time, with the Holy Spirit in her, I believe she can declare this with that confidence, because the purpose of her life is clear. The purpose of her life is that God will empower her with the Holy Spirit to be able to do what she thought she cannot do. Another story, great inspiring, was by Audrey Lee. Okay, Audrey Lee lived through life-threatening circumstances, and her title of her chapter is More Than Answers. And she says that she never questioned God about her disabilities. She says this, look at this, what she says. "When I look at work now, my disability does not take center stage. Yes, I cannot do certain things, but I can find a different way to get it done. People with disabilities are creative." You know, when I saw that, I realized, yes, yes, yes. People with disabilities are creative. They can solve problems in a different manner. Sometimes what we think is a problem to them is not a problem at all. In fact, in my experience, some of them even go through life without even realizing that they have so-called problem. There's so much more important things in life than having answers to all the questions in my thick book. She carries around a big thick notebook, okay, because she says these are questions she wants to ask God. Okay, it is far more important to know God than to know the answers. Amen? What powerful revelation to a person with disabilities in that sense. And I believe with all my heart what she says here is true. That actually because of their so-called conditions, and often from my point of view and from your point of view, a disability, they can actually bring forward a more creative solution than we have ever thought about. I just have one last point for caregivers and parents of persons and families with special needs. I'm sure you're familiar with this announcement. In the event of a decompression, an oxygen mask will automatically appear in front of you. To start the flow of oxygen, pull the mask towards you, place it firmly over your nose and mouth, secure the elastic band behind your head and breathe normally. Although the bag does not inflate, oxygen is flowing to the mask. If you are traveling with a child or someone who requires assistance, secure your mask first and then assist the other person. To all my family members and dear friends and caregivers of people with special needs and caregivers of families and seniors and all, my word to you today is this: pull the mask over yourself first and take care of the fact that the Holy Spirit is in you. You need to experience the Holy Spirit first in your own life. And let the Holy Spirit continue to strengthen you and build you up, so that as you breathe in the Holy Spirit, you can be ready to help and assist your family members who are in great need. So this message is not for them. It is also for all of us, that we need the Holy Spirit first in our lives so that we can help our caregiver. So to wrap up, what does this mean? How then do we honor and value the Holy Spirit? Number one, acknowledge His presence, the blessing in the now. Number two, affirm His purpose, a benefit for all. How then do we better honor and value one another? The key to today's message is simply this: how can we honor everyone? And that is that we need to honor and value the Holy Spirit in us. I want to close with this story. The next slide, please. One day, if you're holding a cup of coffee and someone comes along and bumps into you and shakes your arm and makes you spill the coffee all over the place. Question: why did you spill the coffee? Some of us will say this: because you bumped into me, well. Right? Of course. Wrong answer. You spilled the coffee, or I spilled the coffee, because there was coffee in my cup. Had there been tea in the cup, I would have spilled tea. Whatever is inside the cup is what you will spill out. That's why when life comes along and shakes you, whatever is inside you comes out. So we have to ask ourselves this question: what is in your cup today? That's why the Holy Spirit is something that we must have filled in us. Why? Because when life gets tough, what spills over? Will it be joy, gratefulness, peace, and humility? Or anger, bitterness, harsh words, and reaction? You choose. You can decide. The Bible tells us the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. This is how we're going to close this service today. I believe God wants to fill your cup today with the Holy Spirit, so that in the situations of life that bumps along our way, what spills out will surely be the fruit of the Spirit. That's why it's so important for us and for you and I today to remember this, that this is where we come from. So this is how I want to close. I was led today that I felt that at the end of this service, this is what I want us to do. I was led to Acts chapter 8, verse 17, and this is what it says. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Today I want to just close with a special prayer, especially for our friends with special needs. I want you to just stand where you are right now, and for all of us to stretch our hands towards them, okay? Can we have the next slide, please? And this is what we're going to do. We're going to make a declaration prayer. We're going to speak this over their lives, and we're going to say, you are special, you have a destiny, and you can make a difference. So can I invite all our friends with special needs and all here in our midst to just stand where you are. Caregivers too, if you can help them to stand. If they can't stand, then you can we just stretch our hands towards them and let's pray a blessing for them right now. And let's believe these words that Paul wrote in Acts, right? Or that Luke wrote in Acts. That as we stretch our hands towards them, as we speak this declaration with them, they will be filled with the Spirit. And as the Spirit fills them, we can say to them today that you are special, you have a destiny, and you can make a difference. Shall we do that right now? Father, we ask for your presence to come right now. And even as our hands are stretched to our brothers and sisters here with special needs, today we speak this into their lives. Lord, we declare that the Holy Spirit will fill them and will overflow them. We pray for a fresh infilling. We pray for a new outpouring. We pray for the Holy Spirit to just overwhelm them even right now. But Lord, as you do that, we declare over their lives that they are special. They are special before you and before us. They have a destiny. And we pray, Lord, that as we celebrate this day, we celebrate the fact that each and every one of them can truly make a difference. So Father, we bless you. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercies. We know that you are here. We pray a covering over the caregivers and their families too. And we rejoice because indeed today you say to them, they are honored and they are valued. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen.
Sing this song, Blessed Assurance. This song was written by a lady in the 1800s, 1873, by a lady named Fanny Crosby, who is blind. And she wrote this faith song so that we may all enjoy it, that we may all subscribe to it. Amen. Yeah? Let's sing that to you.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, righteous son of God. Born of a sinner, washed in his blood. Perfect salvation, all is at rest.
thank Pastor Eugene for the message this afternoon, reminding us that no one is too small, no one is too insignificant, no one is too broken for God to use. You know, God can use all of us for His kingdom, for His work, because we are serving a powerful and a great King. Amen? Amen? Amen for that. Let's give the Lord a clap offering for that. And thank you, Pastor Eugene, for the word. And, you know, he was just pointing to me to that painting. All right, it wasn't planned, but somehow it's very prophetic. All right, talking about the last part of the story about the infilling of the Holy Spirit and outflowing of the Holy Spirit. What is, you know, the importance of having the Holy Spirit in our hearts, and how the Holy Spirit can make a difference in our lives. So, thank you, Pastor Eugene, for the words, you know, and also, yeah, please go ahead, yeah. And last but not least, we want to thank all those who are on the stage, and all the dance they've given to us. We want to let you know that we are truly blessed by you. Thank you so much, yeah. And last but not least, just remember, before, after the service, please do go to the atrium, all right, and celebrate these special days, all right, the Lord has given to us. May I pray this for us? Let's pray. Father, I just want to ask, Lord, would you fill us with your Holy Spirit? Empower us, O God, today. As your word has released in our midst, Lord, I ask that your Holy Spirit will empower each one of us. No one, Lord, is too small. No one is too insignificant. And no one is too broken for you to use. As long as, Lord, we're willing to open our hearts for you, God, through you and in Christ, the one who is in us is greater than the one in the world. So, Lord, I ask that, Lord, your Holy Spirit come upon each one of us, even as we depart from here. Lord, fill us with your love. Fill us, Lord, with your power, Lord, to obey your will and to accomplish your purpose. And I pray, Lord, send us out in this place, that wherever we go, Lord, we want the world to know that how great our God is. Amen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. See you all next week.
Thanks for tuning in. We trust you have been blessed. For more information, check us out at www.cruise.org.sg. God bless.